Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It is well with our souls. What a beautiful song that is to sing, and even today with what we're going to be discussing and talking about, and just thinking about the life of the early Hebrew church, of how through the persecution, the suffering, they didn't have this song then, but they could have sang it well, knowing that it is well. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. We're going to be concluding the Hall of Faith, concluding chapter 11, making our way all the way to the very end of a chapter, and still talking about how we should persevere with faith. And so that's the grand kind of overall theme here in the end of chapter 10, chapter 11, and the beginning of chapter 12, of how we should persevere with faith. And we see even more of that put on display for us in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. So join me in reading God's Word today. And the Word of God says, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." Verse 39. "In all these," this word "these" here, it encapsulates the whole of chapter 11, all the way from Abel to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Noah to Moses to all that we've talked about in chapter 11. "In all these, though commended through their faith, they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you right now in this moment, Lord, and we just want to just thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for the songs that you have blessed people to write, Lord, and blessed us with this morning to be able to worship you with and to praise you with, Lord, to give you glory, Lord. And God, as we come to the time of hearing the word preached, Lord, I pray that you will just speak through me, Lord, that I'm just a vessel for your kingdom, Lord, and I preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion, Lord. God, I pray I preach nothing but the truth and your truth alone. God, I pray that you will just clear our minds and help us to focus on your word today. For God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. What will people remember you by? What will people remember you by? When you pass away and people come to your funeral, your visitation, What will they remember about you? Just think about that for a moment. Will it be the wealth you've accrued over your life? Will it be how successful you've been over the course of your life? Will it be maybe your wisdom and how knowledgeable you were at knowing things and knowing how to do things? Will it be a sport, a hobby, or an activity that you were great at? Will it be how great you were at your job? The list is really endless, isn't it? Of all the things that people can be remembered by. But I hope and pray that people will remember each of you by your faith. By the faith you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. My purpose today in preaching from Hebrews chapter 11, 32 through 40 is that we will live our lives marked by faith. That faith will just exude from us. People will see us and they will immediately go to that person has faith in the Lord. Whenever we pass away from this earth and we move along at our funeral and visitation, people are walking up and saying, this man or this woman, they had faith in the Lord. Wouldn't that be more important for people to remember about us than all the other things that can happen in our lives? And the way in which people remember that is by us being marked by faith. Not the accomplishments, not the achievements, but faith. Because it far outweighs anything else. You know, let me just ask you right now, just kind of bluntly, if you die tomorrow, not today, because I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen tomorrow either. But if you were to die tomorrow, okay? If you were to die tomorrow, just imagine with me for a moment. It's not going to happen, okay? Would people remember the faith you had in God? Or would they be talking about all the other things? I think this answer to this question ultimately reveals so much about us, doesn't it? It shows us our lack of faith or our great faith in the God who saved us. And church, God's Word calls us to be people of great faith. Will there be times when we struggle? Will there be times when we mess up? Will there be times when we make mistakes and we fail to give God glory? Absolutely. We're still human. We're still in this sinful body. But people won't remember those things because our lives are so marked with faith. They forget about it. And they look at us at the end of our lives and they say, this person was marked by faith because even though they went through a lot, even though they failed, even though they made mistakes, they continued to live by faith. Continued to go on. And that is the encouragement that's being given to this early Hebrew church that is being persecuted, that's suffering for the sake of Jesus. Continue living by faith. Continue living in faith. Yes, persecution has happened. Yes, suffering is going to happen, but continue to live by faith because this faith is going to define who you are. This faith is going to be what empowers you to endure, to persevere. And so today in our sermon, we're going to see three results of those that live by faith. Three results of those that live by faith. And the first result that we see is that those that live by faith, they are empowered by faith. Those that live by faith, they are empowered by faith. And we see this from the beginning of verse 32 all the way to verse 38 there. But to begin, I just want you to think about the hardest thing you've ever gone through in your life. the most challenging, most difficult thing you've ever went through in your life. Maybe it was cancer, sickness, disease. Maybe it was the loss of a spouse, loss of a child, loss of a parent. Maybe it was financial hardship. Maybe it was sin or addiction that brought you to, or just brought you to rock bottom. Excruciatingly difficult, hard times. Now I ask you, how did you get through it? How did you get yourself up in the morning? How did you get yourself to walk through those days? How did you get through those situations? Did you yourself get you up? Or did you have to depend on somebody else? God. You see, whenever we are empowered by faith, when these times happen, when the hardest things in life happen, you know who gets us up in the morning? You know who helps us to continue walking? You know who helps us to live by faith and to endure by faith? You know who gives us the strength? God does. God is the one that helps us in all those times of need and all those times of troubles. He's the one that empowers us to overcome. And that's exactly what the author is teaching this Hebrew church. These two things, empowered to overcome the situation, the battle they're in. And they can also be empowered to persevere through the suffering, the hard and challenging times. And it all comes through faith in God. And the author, he shows us even more here in beginning in verse 32. And he says, "What more shall I say?" He's talked about all these great people of faith, and he says, "What more shall I say? Haven't I proved the point to you that you can persevere? We should look to God by faith and persevere. Haven't I shown you these faithful men of old, how they live by faith? Is there any more I can add to the list?" And he goes, "Oh, there is, but I'm not going to go into detail about them." And he says, "Hey, for a time would fail me." As in, I have talked a lot about this. I don't have any more things to say, or I don't have enough time to explain anymore. That's what he's saying. "For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets." And then he goes on in the next two verses and describes how they were empowered by faith to overcome. Gideon, by faith, trusted God. When God shrank his army down from 32,000. Hear this number. Gideon had 32,000 men. And God shrank his army down to 300. Gideon would take those 300 men to battle. And you know what they would do? They won. You know how many of those 300 died? Not a single one. And if my numbers are correct, they slew over 100,000 people. They were made strong in weakness. And it came through faith. Barak had victory over Sisera. Samson did many exploits against the Philistines. Jephthah had victory over the Ammonites. Samuel had victory over the Philistines. David won many, many battles. He even slew the giant. These men, as verses 33 and 34 lay out here for us, they conquered kingdoms. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong out of weakness. They became mighty in war. They put foreign armies in flight. And how did they do it? They did it through what? Faith. Faith. They were empowered by faith. And then we see even more. Samuel, as a judge, he would enforce justice. Samson, he would tear apart a lion with his bare hands. David killed lions as a shepherd with a sling. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But God shut the mouths of lions. You know how they overcame? They overcame with faith in God. But that's not all. The author is saying, hey, be like these people. Have faith. Be like these people listed in verse 32. Have faith and trust that God is going to give you strength to overcome. Let Him be your muscles. Let Him be the one that strengthens you. Now, we're not fighting any physical battles here, are we? No, we're not. We're not fighting lions. I don't see anybody fighting any lions around here. We're not doing those type of things, right? But there are going to be things that happen in our lives. There's going to be things we're going to have to battle through. There's going to be sin in our lives that we're going to have to battle against, to wage war against. And you know how we overcome those things? We overcome them by being empowered by faith. We can't do it ourselves. We're weak, frail humans. I hate to tell you that. I'm sure all of you know this by this point, but we're all weak and frail human beings. But we serve a God who is almighty, who is powerful, who is far greater than any of us. Do you know who can give us the strength? Because He has unlimited power. He's infinite in power. So how much strength can He give? All He can. He's the one that carries us. He's the one that helps us to overcome the battles we have and face in our lives. But that isn't all we've been empowered to do. We've also been empowered to persevere. We read in verse 35 of these two women who received back their dead in resurrection. Let me go there. Verse 35, we see this, and I know what you're wondering. This happened in the Old Testament. I didn't know people could be resurrected. And you're right, that would be a great question to ask. But that's besides the point here. But regardless, this is most likely a reference to Elijah raising Zarephath's son in 1 Kings chapter 17. And then also Elisha, so Elijah with a J, and then Elisha with the SH there, raising the Shunammite's son in 2 Kings chapter 4. Now don't get distracted by these two resurrected sons, because eventually they're both going to die. And they would both die a physical death and be buried in the ground, and they would stay buried. You got me? So even though they were resurrected, they are unlike Jesus. Because Jesus, guess what He did? He continued to what? Live. He never died again. But these two sons, they would die again. But the point is this, is the faith of these two women are being put on display. They had faith. But then the author makes a quick turn in this one verse. And he goes, some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. The New Living Translation says they refused to turn from God in order to be set free. So it's almost like they've been taken captive, and they have chosen that they are not going to deny their faith in God. They're not saying no. They're not going back. They're going to keep it. They refuse to be released. The author here probably has in mind Eleazar. We read in extra-biblical sources, particularly 2 Maccabees, of Eleazar and his brothers and a mother being tortured. It's a very sad picture. It's a horrible, horrible picture. But Eleazar is presumed to be the spokesman of the group. His tongue was cut out. He was scalped. His hands and feet were cut off. And then even worse than that, he's put in a frying pan. This was the torture that this people endured. All of his brothers and mother would eventually be martyred. But let's read again the last phrase here. In verse 35. Why did they endure all that? Why did they go through all of that? So that they might rise again to a better life. Torture didn't have the last word. Resurrection did. And those that suffer and endure with persecution, or it's those that suffer and endure persecution by faith, those that live by faith, those that walk by faith, do you know what's going to happen? They're one day going to be resurrected, just like our Savior Jesus was. And this story right here, this verse 35, is pointing us forward to Jesus and how Jesus kept the faith, how Jesus died on the cross, how He was buried, and then on the third day He was resurrected. But even more than that, it points us forward to when Jesus returns and what happens when Jesus returns. All those who have believed, their bodies are going to be raised, and we will go into the new heaven and the new earth. A better life. And the author here is saying, hey, that better life is better than the torture. It's better than the persecution. It's better than the suffering you're going through as a church, as Christians. They were empowered to persevere by faith. But then we go on and we see even more in verses 36, 37. We see that some suffered mocking and flogging. Some were bound by chains, imprisoned, likely thinking of the many prophets who spoke God's word. Some were stoned, as here in this passage, such as Zechariah and Jeremiah, which I think we learn from traditional sources. Some were stoned in two, killed with a sword, which according to Jewish tradition is what happened to Isaiah. And I know this is all sounding harsh, and I'm sorry if it sounds terrible. But the author is painting a picture for us. He's painting a picture of how these people, though they were poor, though they were destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, though some wandered in deserts and mountains, hiding in dens and caves, most likely thinking of Elisha and Elijah, how the prophets even hid in caves in the book of Obadiah, maybe even thinking of David hiding from Saul when Saul was chasing him. But you know what the author says of all these faithful men? He says in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. And what he's saying here is they were too good for this world. You see what he's doing there? He's saying their faith was so good. They were such, I don't want to say good people, but they had faith. Their faith was so strong. They were just too good for this world. This world was not worthy of having them in it. Because this world is so sinful, so messed up, so terrible. And he's saying the world was not worthy to have them. And why was that? Because they were empowered by faith to persevere. Church, God has empowered us through His Spirit to be able to persevere in the sufferings of the Christian life. He has empowered us to persevere in the persecutions that we may face as Christians. He has empowered us by faith to endure, to live by faith, to walk by faith in all of life's struggles, in all of life's ebbs and flows. He has given us the strength. It's why we can sing the song, "It is well." It's why we can sing the song, "Blessed Assurance." May we do well to remember the words of Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, guess what he does? He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God, by our faith in Him, He gives us power. He gives us strength. He renews our strength. He gives us endurance to run the race that's been set before us and to do it without being weary. Church, we must remember that we are not strong enough, but He is. He is. So this leads us to the second result that we see here in this passage. Marked by faith. Those that live by faith, they are marked by faith. And I want to take us back to this list of men from the Old Testament honestly, we could say the whole of chapter 11, every man that's listed here, even Sarah in chapter 11, if you go back and you read their stories, you will find some times where they sinned, where they failed, where they made a mistake. And it's strange, right? Why is the author listing all these great people of faith that they had times in their lives where they failed, where they sinned, where they made a mistake? Here's the reality. If your faith is strong, sin doesn't abound. But with many of these people, many of these men here, they lacked faith. And because they lacked faith, they had times where they failed and they messed up and they made mistakes. You look at them. Noah got drunk. Abraham committed adultery. Sarah doubted God, laughed at him. Moses disobeyed God. Gideon asked for signs because he lacked faith. And then Gideon eventually calls Israel to sin. Barak didn't trust God to go into battle without Deborah. Samson had infidelities, thoughtless acts. Jephthah made a foolish vow that ended in him sacrificing his daughter. Samuel had terrible sons, but still appointed him as judges. David sinned with Bathsheba. And then he did what he did with Uriah. But you know what we don't read here in chapter 11? We don't read any of that. We don't read anything about the sins of these people. We don't read anything about their times when they lacked faith. We don't read anything about how they messed up. We only read about what? Their faith. We read about how it was because of their faith they conquered kingdoms and persevered in suffering and persecution. Why is that? Because their faith over the course of their life was far, far louder than the mistakes they made, than the sin that happened, than the times when they had little faith. But even more so than that, their faith was louder because they persevered with faith. They had faith all the way to the end of their lives. It wasn't just for a moment. It wasn't just here. It wasn't just there. It was over the course of their life, they were faithful. And I think this teaches us something. Faith doesn't mean one's perfect, does it? No, it doesn't. Faith does not mean one is perfect, but it does mean you persevere in faith until the end. That's what faith means. That's what it means to live by faith. That's what it means to walk by faith. It means you just keep going. You keep having the faith. And you just keep walking by faith. Continue living by faith. Persevering in faith. All the way until the end. Just like every one of these people in Hebrews chapter 11 did. We look back on their lives and we remember them because they were marked by faith. So let me ask you this morning. Are you marked by faith? If you look back over the course of your life, is it filled with faithfulness to God? Faithfully believing in Him for salvation, trusting in Him for salvation. Faithfully living for Him. You know, this is a great question to ask about, to ask ourselves about, ultimately answering the question of whether we're believers or not. Right? I'm not trying to get you to question your salvation, but simply to examine your life as we're taught in 2 Corinthians. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5, it says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Church, as 2 Corinthians here is teaching us, we should be examining ourselves often. We should do it often to make sure that we're still living and walking by faith. We've seen several times in the book of Hebrews of the author warning us not to fall away. How do we don't do that? How do we prevent that? Examining ourselves. So we should take the time to look back on our lives and see if it's filled with great times of faithfulness, great times of walking and living by faith, great times of faithfully trusting in Jesus for salvation. And those that are marked by faith, you know what they're going to have? They're going to have many, many great times of faith. They're going to have a trail of faithfulness following behind them. Faithfully trusting in the Lord, faithfully walking in the Lord, faithfully persevering, faithfully enduring. Church, we must not be defined by our sin, our problems, our concerns, our job, our hobbies, our wealth, or any other worldly thing. May we as Christians, as people of faith, be defined by faith. By faith in God. Because that very faith is the very thing that commends us. Which takes us to our third and final result here. Those that live by faith are commended by faith. Those that live by faith are commended by faith. We saw this word commended several times in the first five verses of Hebrews chapter 11. And now here at the end, the author bookends. Y'all know what a bookend is? Okay, you put a book here, you put a bookend here and a bookend here, and it closes the section, if that makes sense. That's what's happening. He's saying, let's close this passage up a little bit. But in the first five verses, it was demonstrated to us that the people of old, they received their commendation. Or you could say they were approved, they were awarded. And this approval, this awarding that they received, it came through their faith, which is what verse 39 tells us. Right? And all these, though commended through their faith. How were they commended? Was it by living the right way? Was it by living morally good enough? Was it by them acting the right way? Was it by them loving others? No. It says they were commended through their faith. It was their faith they had in God by which they were commended. So another word, just to make sure we're all thinking along the same lines here, that we can place in place of commended would be saved. These men of old were saved through their faith. They were saved by faith. By faith alone they were saved. Nothing else, nothing more. And we see this perfectly displayed through the life of Abraham when Paul captures this for us in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And so Romans 4 verse 1, he says, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." Paul is asking, did Abraham gain something because of his flesh? Did Abraham gain something because he was good enough, or because he lived morally right enough, or because he worked hard enough to earn God's favor? Did Abraham do something? The answer is no. No, he didn't. Because if he did, then that would mean that Abraham would have been justified by his works, by what he did. And that would mean he earned it, right? He earned his salvation. He earned his commendation. And if he earned it, then what does that mean? He can boast in how he saved himself. But church, that isn't how it works. We can't and we don't save ourselves. God saves us. And by what is it that God saves us? Paul continues in verse 3 and he tells us, "For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Because if you work, you get paid, right?" That's what he's saying here. It's not a gift. It's not a gift. He goes on in verse 5, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. We are saved by faith. Faith is believing. So we're ultimately saved by believing in Jesus, placing our faith in Jesus. And through our faith in Jesus, we will be counted as righteous. Now this is very important. And if you are here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you've never believed in Jesus, I want you to listen to me closely. It is really important you understand this. God is holy. God is righteous. We as humans are not. We are sinful. We are unrighteous. And that sinfulness has separated us from God. And our relationship with Him is ultimately as judge, right? Not Savior, as judge. And those that have God as judge, they are judged to eternal condemnation and hell. But God, being the good God He is, being the loving God He is, being the gracious God He is, you know what He did? He sent His very own Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to pay the price, to pave the way. And it's only through Jesus that one can be made righteous. By placing their faith in Him, trusting in Him. Because Jesus was the one who lived a righteous life here on this earth. He would go to the cross. He would die a sacrificial death. He would be buried in a tomb. And on the third day, He would be resurrected, proving that He was sinless. And even in that, He overcome death and He overcame sin. And through that, He paid the price. We owed a debt because God is holy and we're not. And Jesus, when we believe in Him, that price is covered, that debt is paid. And this all happened so that people who are judged to eternal condemnation in hell can have their destiny changed to eternal life in heaven. And that eternal life comes through believing, through faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of yourselves. As Paul has pointed out, as the author of Hebrews has pointed out, we can't save ourselves, but you know who can? Jesus can. You can't make yourself righteous and holy as God is, but Jesus can. You can't be morally good enough, but Jesus can make you good enough. And so maybe you're wondering, how do I become marked by faith? How do I become commended by faith? And you do that by placing your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, repenting of your sin. And this morning, if you are feeling the Lord calling you, drawing you, inclining you to Himself, I just want you to right now, just where you are sitting, you don't got to stand up, you don't got to walk down the aisle, you ain't got to raise a hand, you ain't got to do anything, but simply respond by placing your faith in Jesus, believing in Him as Savior, trusting that the works He did on the cross, how He died, how He was buried, how He's resurrected, He did it all for you, for your salvation. Just simply say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've failed to glorify You. I know I'm in need of saving. And this morning, God, I'm responding right now by believing in the works of Jesus and what He did on the cross. And I'm repenting of my sins. Thank You for saving me. If that's you this morning, I just encourage you to talk to somebody. Talk to a faithful friend. Talk to a faithful family member. You're even welcome to talk to me at the end of a service and just talk about this decision that you're making to follow Jesus. Believe in Him and place your faith in Him, because there are so many more things to learn about walking with Jesus. Church, the people of old, they didn't get to experience what we experience. Verse 40 goes on and points out how they had faith in Jesus in the future, right? Jesus wasn't there with them, but they had faith that Christ was coming in the future at some point. We have been blessed with experiencing Jesus after coming down from heaven, walking on earth, dying on the cross for our sins and our salvation. And because of that, do I have verse 40 up there? I don't think I do, but if you go back and look at verse 40, since God has provided something better for us. You know what that something better was? That something better was Jesus. Jesus. Something better is the full realization of who Jesus is and Him walking on this earth, being raised and ascending to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. Which is why we can be made perfect, can be made righteous, can be made holy, all because Christ has come. In our sermon today, we have seen three results of those that live by faith. Those that live by faith are empowered by faith to overcome battles, struggles in life, empowered by faith to persevere in suffering and persecution. Those that live by faith are marked by faith. Faith marks who they are. It's a part of them. There's a trail of faithfulness of God and faithfulness in God following behind them. They are commended by faith, saved by faith alone, not of anything they have done, but by everything that Jesus has done for us. I want to close by just pointing us to the book of James. The author here in Hebrews 11 has placed a tremendous amount of weight on the word faith, hasn't he? Over and over and over, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And this is honestly just another sermon in itself for another day, but I can't leave without talking about it. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, James talks about how faith without works is dead. It almost seems like there is a contradiction between Paul and James sometimes. Paul often says, faith alone saves you. And then James here kind of gives us a picture that it's faith and works that saves you. But the reality is there's no contradiction. Because all of these people of old, they lived obedient lives. They worked for the Lord. Why did they do that? Because they had faith. Obedience and works come out of faith. Obedience and works is an overflow of the faith you have in God. Obedience and works is how we show that we have faith in God. Which is why Jesus can say, it's why we can look at other people and we can know them by their fruit, right? Those that are faithful are going to have fruit. Overflowing. Gospel fruit, godly fruit, fruits of the Spirit pouring out of their lives. Those that have faith are just going to live obediently following the Lord, trusting in Him. They're going to live holy and they're going to live righteous as God is. Because they have faith. May we be people who lives our life, who lives our faith out by living obediently, working for the Lord, living by faith, walking by faith, persevering by faith. And lastly, may we be people that are marked by faith. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You today, Lord, and we just thank You for this passage in Hebrews chapter 11. We thank You for all the examples in Hebrews chapter 11 here, Lord, of these people of old who lived their lives marked by faith, Lord, who lived their lives walking by faith and living by faith and persevering with faith. God, may we look to them as an example of how we should live our lives too. Faithfully following You. Faithfully trusting You. Faithfully believing in who You are. Faithfully believing in the salvation You have given us, Lord. And God, may we walk and live and be marked by faith. Dear God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.